League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go, still 2 hours of the show. Appreciate you listening and being a suspect as we continue on ESPN 97.5. Jermaine Every today filling in for Fred with AJ, just to let you know about the Blitz scenario coming up at 4 o'clock. Jermaine. Yep, Jermaine's a good dude.
Somebody said, any of y'all cop the new Jordan Supreme collaboration this morning? I didn't know it existed until you sent that text. And then I went and looked at it, and it's the Jordan 14 in two colorways. They've got a white and white, black, and red with, it's got like little studs on it.
Yep.
Like a little, it almost looks bedazzled. Mm-hmm. And then they've got a black and blue with the studs on it. I like the white. Those are clean. But I don't see where you can buy them on Nike.com. I imagine they're already sold out. That would be my assumption. But, so no, the answer is no, we didn't cop them. I didn't know they existed. I would totally buy them, but not aftermarket, because they're going to be like $500 for a while. So I'm out on that.
So you like the white pair?
I did like the white ones a lot, though. They look pretty nice. And I'm not a big Supreme guy. I know that's like a fashionable brand, like streetwear.
Under the Nike label?
Type thing. No, it's not under Nike.
It isn't?
I don't think so. I think it's just that they collaborate with Nike, just like Off-White does.
That's the one where J.R. Smith had their tattooed on his body, and the NBA was going to make him cover it up.
But I don't think, and I could be wrong, maybe you're right, but I didn't think Supreme was part of Nike. I think it's just a streetwear, but they collaborate with Nike. Because there's also like Off-White who collaborates with Nike on releases, but it's not under Nike per se. I know like Nike bought Converse.
Right.
I do know that.
Yeah, Nike owns Converse, Cole Haan. Hurley.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
good call.
Yeah. So they get quite a bit under their umbrella.
But I send me a link if they're still available. I might actually buy a pair, even though they're $250.
I dig a pair of shoes over here for big timer.
Well, okay. You know, this is why I don't have kids, so I can spend $250 on some shoes that I'll get dirty in a week.
Have you seen, by the way, these people at the mall that are trying to like peg you down when you got good, you know, good
right
kicks?
They're like, hey, let me clean those.
Yeah, let me clean them, and then you know, just stop. No, stop.
I'm gonna tell you, man, that shoe cleaning kit that I got on Amazon is the way to go. I've given it out before.
Yeah, you have.
If I can find the name again, I will give it out again.
Okay, you look at that,
Jason Mark with two K's. Okay. Jason Mark Premium Shoe Cleaner. Go get it. It's on Amazon. It's cheap. Works great.
Cool. There you go. And then you don't have to. Then you can tell.
You don't have to be accosted.
Then you can look at the people in the stupid kiosk and go, Jason Mark. Yeah. Just look it up.
Yeah. All right, cool. They're as bad as the perfume people.
Yeah, they are. They're grabby too. And you talk about like when Demetrius was saying that a lady put her hands on his kid. These people aren't afraid to grab you either.
Oh, so I have a social question for you in regards to that.
Okay.
A dilemma here. Not a dilemma, but I go through this walking through the mall. So you know, there's those guys that want to clean, but they only want to clean one shoe. It's like, nah, bitch, if you're gonna clean a shoe.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. They won't clean both.
That's the hook.
They show you on a spot. Like, I had a door-to-door salesman one time do that. He came by, he's like, man, you want to buy this cleaner? And I was like, no, not really. He goes, man, it works great. Let me show you. I'll go clean one of your rims. I was like, no, you're not gonna clean one rim, and I'm driving around with three dirty ass rims. You can clean all four rims and show me. Or not.
You don't want to be kicking the mall, let that guy like one clean show and one dirty shoe.
So they clean the spot and then want you to pay for the rest. And so that, but like then there's the hair care people in those booths, those kiosks, where they're like, oh, look, I got this straightener. Sir, do you want to try this? Like they have all kinds of weird people stopping you throughout the mall.
I've never seen the hair people. The massage people are all over it. We've talked about
they're
that.
They're not that aggressive, but then like, so they've got, yeah, like those flat irons that for women that they straighten their hair.
Okay.
They've got like, you know, skin products and
the perfume colognes. People are big.
And all these different things in these little kiosks throughout the mall. And they'll stop you like, hey, do you want a sample? Sir. Is it rude if I don't acknowledge them?
No. Not at all.
Because I feel like it's like homeless people. It's the same. They're as bad as homeless people. But I feel like I don't owe you an acknowledgement just because you want me to give you money or give you my business. I don't owe you that. I'm walking through the mall with a specific purpose, with an express purpose to go do something. So because you're standing there and try to talk to me, is it rude if I ignore them and just keep walking? I feel like a jerk.
No.
Mm-mm. But it's like, well, I didn't initiate this conversation. I don't want to have this conversation.
Act like you're talking on the phone.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
That's good. I'm not even going to carry a phone. I'm just going to hold my hand to my face.
That's fine.
Be like, yeah, what'd you want me to get from the store?
My daughter does it all the time. It can work. She's on the phone even when she's down.
That guy's
crazy. The other thing is, if you respond and go, no, I'm sorry, not interested. Well, why not? Because I can see that your shoes are dirty anyway. I'm like, bro, if I needed something to clean my shoes, I'd be on a mission at the mall going to the store that sells it or coming to you. But I don't need you picking at me.
Guilting me into cleaning my shoes. Mind your own business.
And what about at Palatial Laminac Manor and Nick at the Sharara House, the door-to-door people?
We don't get door-to-door.
Now, I was told because I asked on the Facebook page.
We'll get kids like selling, like the high school kids are like, hey, we're selling this to raise money for the band or the football team or whatever.
We've gotten some of those. But recently, like we had a guy who knew me by name that wanted to talk to me about solar paneling on the roof. And I was like, no, I'm good. But he understood and he was like, thank you. And then another guy came and said, do I have a financial advisor? I go, yeah, I've had a guy for a long time. Well, I'm just down the road if you need me. And I'm going, okay. So then I asked, like, I thought in our neighborhood, they said no soliciting. And they're like, well, the one thing you can be sure of is you can register with the website for your neighborhood, and then they know that they're not supposed to pester you. And I was like, I wasn't aware of that either. But we just went through elections. And I'll tell you this, I wasn't home. I was at the gym the other day, and Lisa said she's got the dogs barking. She's got Taylor in the house. She politely answers the door. And these people were like, you do realize that there's 5 hours left to vote. And Lisa's like, yeah, my husband and I are very well aware of that. And she's like, but I've got dogs barking and I've got a child in the house. I got to go. And he's like, no, step outside and shut the door. And she's like, excuse me? And he goes, you step outside and shut the door because we would like to talk to you before the election ends. And she's like, I've already told you, my husband and I are aware of it. My husband's not home right now. And she was trying to be real polite. And the dude got belligerent.
Oh, boy.
I was like, okay. And then how
that
about
doesn't
this?
Happen
you weren't home?
And I wasn't home. So I get home and she's hot. And I'm like, so I'm going to go find out, you know, with this campaign and everything like that. And she's like, well, you know, wait a little bit because I don't want anybody to see Taylor with you or think that, you know, and I'm like, Lisa, either you want me to or not, but it was rude. Another person comes by and goes, and I answer the door and she goes, do you realize that you have 2 hours to vote? I said, do you realize that your people accosted my wife about 3 hours ago? And now, whether we vote or not, we're not voting for your candidate because that was the rudest thing. And she goes, oh, I did not. And I was like, okay, you guys got to understand there's a way to do this. And this is not the way. I understand at the polling locations, like the early voting you can do at the fire station. People are out curbside. They have little tents set up. They're trying to encourage you. That's one thing. But when you go door to door, it's already annoying. But when you go to door and can't take no for an answer or
why do you answer the door? If somebody knocks on my door, we have a big glass and I see them and I'm like, I don't know this person. And I just look at them and I give them the go away hand.
Do you really?
Yeah. And then they ring the doorbell and I just go away. And then I just go back to watching TV. And they can see, they're looking through the glass. They're looking through the glass watching me watch TV. Like, you know what? I didn't come to your house. You came to mine, and I didn't want you to come to mine.
Go away.
So go the hell away. Get out of here.
Fantastic.
Just get out of here. And then they'll laugh. I like a lot because they're like, ha, he's joking. And I'm like, no, get out of here. And then I just go back to watching TV or playing video games.
You are the get off my lawn guy now.
And they'll stand there and they'll knock a couple more times and I'll just look. And then they just go away.
My thing is right above our doorbell, it says, please do not ring the bell because of the dogs. If they ring the bell anyway, I walk up there and I wait them. And they're like, sir, and they hand me a pamphlet and I go, well, have you read this? Because obviously you can't read the sign above my doorbell that says don't
you
ring
should crumble
it.
Crumble it up and throw
and
go, it at
yeah,
them.
I'm good.
You should crumble it up pamphlet. And throw at them.
See, I don't have door-to-door issues like
get
that.
Get violent with them, man.
It's rare, but
you're lucky.
The most that I get is the window inspectors. I don't know. For whatever reason, I get all these
window inspectors. Oh, it's because, well, is your house like over 20 years old?
Well, that's what they say. They're like, hey, those windows are really old. They're original from the 80s. I'm like, nope. House caught on fire, 2015, sir. Yeah, they're like 5 years old.
That's all they do is they just go to a neighborhood that's older than 20 years, and then they go, everyone in here needs new windows, and they just walk around.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, I don't get too annoyed by it because it doesn't happen. I don't know what's the deal.
Yeah,
with
we might get.
Joel's
I now signed up for the don't knock on my door thing. We'll see if it works. But I was like, I literally thought that they had a no solicitation rule in Sugar Land, and evidently I was wrong.
Well, our neighborhood has no soliciting signs at the front, but we rarely get anyone. The most we have is there's like our neighborhood is like we're kind of like black people where we give nicknames when you really don't need it. I was talking about this with Jason the other day, man. We were talking about, he's got like, when you have nicknames, he's like, black people give people nicknames that you don't need. Like, you might be like Fat Bobby, but there's no other Bobby in the group. Why you got to call him Fat Bobby? Just call him Bobby. but it's
so true.
So we have the mulch man. We have the fence man. We have the bug guy. Like, we don't like, oh, the mulch guy might come by once every 3 months. Be like, hey, you want me to mulch your bed for $250? I'm like, nah, player, I do all this. You don't need to. And your mulch sucks. Get out of here. But we don't get that many. We're pretty lucky. But the ones that do, unless it's a kid. If it's a kid, I answer the door. I buy what they're selling.
Oh, I'm big on that, too.
I always buy what the kids are selling. Always. But if it's just some raggedy-ass dude, and we do have a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses in our area.
Oh. Yeah, I'm blunt with them. Hey, would you read this? No, I won't. I will not read that.
I worship Satan. Have a good day. Close the door.
Man, I grew up.
Because I won't. I'm not going to lie to him and take it.
My best friend that was a J-Dub.
Oh, really?
And my mom used to do that. She used to, like, engage him in deep conversation, like, why do you go door to door? And how often, when you talk about it, do you get into it? And what do you talk about? And I was like, Mom, just leave me alone.
I would, like, one day, like, oh, come on in, guys. And then they come in, and then you just, like, get your laptop out and put porn on the screen.
Oh, that's
and
hilarious.
And then just hit play. And be like, what were you saying? And then just start like taking your pants down. They would be like, we gotta go.
They would run.
I don't think it would be horrific to see my pack of dogs running at them, but that porn would do the trick.
Where are you going? Why are you, sir, come back. Why are you running? That would be hilarious.
Oh, great.
Hey, Joel, don't you have to tell the people about something?
Yeah. About scenic views?
Yeah, speaking of scenic views that are totally legal, you need to head to one of your six locations of Twin Peaks, because Twin Peaks is your one-stop shop to watch sports and get the best eats and beverages around in a great environment. If you haven't been to a Twin Peaks, you're missing out. And if you have, you know what I'm talking about, because the Twin Peaks girls are beautiful and they're running around and all they're trying to do is help to serve you with all of the great food and beverages they have. It's all made from scratch menu items in the kitchen, including a new smoke menu where you can get everything from ribs to pulled pork sandwiches. Their appetizers are fantastic. And the draft beers, they're all 29 degrees. They don't just advertise it and don't do it. There is an actual thermometer and a digital reading above the bar, and it tells you for all of their draft selections, 29 degrees. They've got all the TV sets and all the satellite packages, so therefore, you can be watching multiple events on multiple screens like the NBA Finals, like soccer, and so much more. The Astros. Check them out, because it's definitely the one-stop place to watch all sporting events and hang out with great food and beverage. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. It's got to be Twin Peaks.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, deep in hour number two, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday in the big city. Barry's last day with the Suspects.
Not forever. You wish.
No, I didn't. I'm not wishing.
Keep dreaming.
That's
hoes.
Nick.
It's not me.
I just called you Barry Dick Arnold.
See, that's
yeah, this
not
wasn't my choice.
Nick said Barry Dick Arnold. I said Barry Dick.
See, neither one of those sound appropriate.
I'm just saying.
Because you meant Benedict Arnold. Let's preface that.
Very good, yes.
Okay.
Way to go, historian.
Well, I'm just saying for the purposes of FCC filings.
Oh, right. That too. Yeah. No, Richard involved.
To say Barry Dick Arnold and sounds...
That sounds like Benedict, an act.
Yes. Yeah. It's not a...
not an act.
Is it a verb? Is that... Yeah, it's not a verb. It's an adjective.
It's an ict, okay. Not an act. Got it.
Good. Got it.
All right.
A couple of texts. I know we got to get to Astros.
Astros, yeah.
But we got time. We got 3 hours to
not anymore,
kick it.
But okay.
Little off topic, but does Joel know what the gender of his new baby is? That was Amazon B's brother wanted to know.
Yes, we do. It's a girl.
Hey. Yep. If you guys are talking shoes, have you seen the new Pumas? I don't know. There's a lot of new Pumas out. I don't know which ones you're talking about. I am partial to the old suede classics.
Those are fantastic.
The Clydes.
Can't go wrong with them.
But if you're talking about the ones on the website that have like square flat toes, all those dad shoes are awful. All these new
Danny
style.
Danny Green is wearing and Boogie are wearing Puma in the finals. Danny Green's wearing it's almost like a, remember the old work
like
boots?
These, like the Clyde cords?
No. Well, that's the model, but they're wearing, no. Is it
that one?
Yeah. That's the
that
one.
That yellow.
Yeah, it's almost like a work boot color.
That's a Clyde court. The Clyde court title run. Those are ugly as hell.
But I think that's the new version with the basketball bottom and a little bit more technology.
Yeah, the new Pumas all look pretty awful. And I'm talking about the Clyde court city pack and the RSX fourth dimension. Just awful. All these dad shoes.
Puma's a step above New Balance, and that's not saying a lot.
All these dad shoes where they're like, even Yeezy had the dad-looking shoes. I'm just not down with this. I can't. Look, I try to be hip at 45 years old. I try to keep up with the latest trends. Some of this stuff is just ridiculous. Like and they're bringing back carpenter pants. I don't know about because I'm just now comfortable with skinny jeans. I can't be wearing skinny carpenter pants. That's not going to look okay.
Like,
no, carpenter. They call them carpenter pants because they got the little belt loop for your hammer.
Thing?
Yeah, or they'll also have
Who's
a version.
Doing that?
They'll also have a version called painter's pants. I can't. Yeah. I'm not rocking some skinny carpenter jeans.
So basically, they're happening. Coming back, but they're coming back in a.
I do own carpenter pants, but it was actually because I was a carpenter and I would use the little belt loop thing when I worked. So it's a big difference.
Yours were Dickies,
and it's true.
See,
that's a fact
because they last.
That is a fact.
I didn't know that they're bringing them back, but if they're bringing them back and trying to make them more skinny, tapered pant legs,
I'm out on that.
It's not a good look.
Somebody said, shout out to Get Upside. I transferred $45 from my rewards to an AMC movie gift card. I fuel up my company car. There you go. Free date night, and the wife had no idea. Finessing the game. That is smart, my friend. That is very smart. Worst salesman in the world are the overly aggressive DirecTV dudes at Sam's. That was from USA Mike.
Terrible. Fair.
They are very aggressive.
Them and the cell phone, like Verizon, T-Mobile.
In the mall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those to me are DirecTV and the guys that sell cell plans are the worst.
They're pretty bad. They can be very aggressive. Awesome show and first time watching y'all on Twitch. Has anyone ever said Barry looks like an off-brand Rob Riggle?
No.
Nope. Mm-mm. I've met him in person, too. No, he looks nothing
like I don't look like Rob Riggle.
At
like
all.
An off-brand.
Not even close.
I don't look like the Equate Rob Riggle.
I mean, I'm Googling.
I don't know. Do I?
See if Nick Casario, maybe.
No.
I hope they saw that look on
So, I'm looking at, I don't wear my glasses because these stupid ass glasses, they make my laptop screen all wonky. I can't do it.
They're new glasses to make you see better.
And they don't work.
They make you see wonky?
Wonky. It's all like wavy and stuff because of the stupid progressive lenses.
Is wonky derivative from kitty wampus?
No, it's catty wampus, not kitty wampus. You say kitty corner, don't you? It's catty corner.
You want to talk about all this again?
It's catty corner, not kitty corner.
You want to talk about your little chaput nanny? You want to get into all that?
I could see where you might... think offhand that I'm a like a generic Rob Riggle.
Okay, I don't.
I don't get Rob Riggle a lot. I get MC Search. I get what's the dude from The Hangover? Andy from the Nard Dog from The Office.
Oh God!
Yes. I get the Ed Helms. I get Ed Helms a lot. Yep.
Without the tooth.
Aaron Hernandez. Get the, no, not without the tooth.
Oh. Okay, so let's get some Astros out of the way.
Let's do it.
It was funny because I tweeted last night when Verlander gave up the first home run. Well, at least we got that out of the way because we know that's the norm. Now he can get down to dealing and everything's going to be fine. Crazy that he would have given up, what, three hits? Three, they were all home
solo
runs.
Solo home runs.
And the one to Thames, I'm like, he's ahead in the count, two strikes. He could throw two or three breaking pitches in the dirt and probably get him. But because of the fact that with the Crawford boxes and the short porch, and because he throws so hard, and look.
Yeah, that was a cheap homer.
It really was. I mean, it was outside and high, and he just stuck the barrel on it, and it got out. And that sucks because he pitched his ass off. I mean, 15 strikeouts, a career high for a guy that's had a hell of a career. And you're like, this one should end in nine innings the right way with him getting a W and having that 15 strikeouts as a very impressive feat. And now it almost goes by the wayside because of the fact that it went 14 innings and they ended up losing. And no one's talking about the positive.
This was the matchup that scared me more of the two because of his susceptibility to the home run ball. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, I mean, you don't, well, and especially in extra innings, like Woodruff can deal. His numbers were really good. And I thought he pitched his ass off. Yeah. But the one disadvantage is you don't want to go bullpen for bullpen, arm for arm with the Brewers. And even as good as the Astros have been, you start that bullpen is pretty deep over there on the Milwaukee side. And if you looked at it, the way that he handled it, that the Brewers handled it. Like Claudio was the first guy out of the pen, might be one of their worst relievers, mm-hmm. and he's not awful. But you know, you flip that, and the Astros went Presley Osuna early. And then thought, and I'm guessing the thinking is, well, we'll go and win this in nine or whatever. And so you start getting later in the game.
Then they start looking at the guys that can get multiple innings like a Josh James. But then why not go with multiple innings with Josh James?
That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, James did fine. I think that they thought, you know, Perez had given them three innings. I think it was against the Mariners.
Yeah,
Orioles,
I think, his first outing when he came up. Yep.
Yeah, and so maybe that was the thinking again, but I don't know that I would – that's not going to be the norm for him. He's not going to go out there and give you three scoreless every time, but you're counting on that again. I'm with you. There's other guys you could have stretched out a little bit in this game. It happens. You lost to a hell of a baseball team that can mash. And
talk about a team that just doesn't care about average. They just swing for the fences. Moustakas is playing second base. They don't care how rangy he is or how he turns the double play.
Yeah.
They care that he hits bombs from second base.
Yeah.
And Shaw and all the guys that you line up on that field and you go, they're not really worried about defense. They're just worrying about hitting the long ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they're effective doing it.
Speaking of that.
Yeah.
Your boy.
Which one?
Yordan.
Your boy.
My boy.
Yes.
My boy.
Your
non
hater.
That's a good song, by the way. My boy. He has two hits in his nine at bats.
Both are your dongs.
So someone was like, oh, your dongs, like in 2025, I don't remember who it was. You know, somebody that has to be a smart ass to me on Twitter, which is awesome.
Pretty much everybody.
Right. But they were like, oh, it's going to be 2025, and he's going to be on his, like, sixth season of 50 home runs, and Barry's going to be like, let's all slow down. I'm going to be like, yeah, you know who else did nothing but hit home runs? Chris Carter. So this dude has two hits and has nine at-bats, and they're both home runs.
But
let's be real careful, all right? That was my whole point. Again, I know you guys are going to give me crap for the take, but I wasn't suggesting that Yordan's not going to be good. What I'm saying is, last night was a good example. You saw him chasing some pitches and taking some pitches he shouldn't be taking. And he did draw some walks, but he's also going to be susceptible to some strikeouts. He's got four strikeouts and nine at-bats and two home runs.
But he's also got a pretty good eye because in the extra innings he did work his way to a walk and he laid off a couple tough pitches. So I don't think he's Chris Carter.
You don't?
No.
I mean, he's hitting .222. Both hits are home runs, and he struck out.
But we also warned people and gave them we prepared them and said, look, right from the get-go, he's not going to do this and be like all gangbusters and just be on this mad tear once he gets to the big leagues. It's going to take some time. So I'm giving him that time before I pass the buck on him and say he's totally going to be Chris Carter.
I totally agree. But everybody's like, oh, you know, he's the second coming. He's going to struggle. He's going to go through some issues. I mean, this is a different. It's a different at the big league level. But
for sure.
I just think it's funny that I'm already catching the heat, and I knew I would. But remember, you know, this is the era of the three true outcomes: a walk, a strikeout, and a home run. And you don't always want to have guys that are strictly the three outcome kind of hitters.
Milwaukee does.
That is true. That is true.
So we'll get to a lot of other things in the second half of the show, and also give you a chance to win something, because, you know, like we always like to give back to the suspects. So we'll have that coming up before 3 o'clock as well. But plenty more to get to, and if you want to join the conversation, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us up on Twitter. I want to talk about that replay last night too with your boy.
Okay,
Miles Straw.
I'm not safe. They blew that.
The only thing I saw was that we may have missed, the AT&T people didn't focus on it, a touch of the elbow on the way to the body. Otherwise, I completely agree with you. He was safe. So we'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on the second half of the show right here on ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. The big show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. What in the world are you cackling about?
Nothing. I'm not. Nothing. I can't say.
What do you mean you can't say?
I can't. Normally, I would tell you. I can't.
Sometimes you would tell me.
It's sponsor related. I can't say.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, here's something that's not sponsor related, but kind of is. Why don't you give something away? Would you like to do that?
I just had a brain fart there.
Sure did. Not a tootie, just a full-blown. Yeah. There you go.
Beer barbecue equals the perfect Father's Day. So caller number 8. 713. That didn't sound very enthusiastic, did it? Caller number 8, 713-780-3776. You are going to win a voucher to a fun, easy backyard pit master class from Brisket U. You learn the tips and tricks to smoking the perfect Texas brisket, and you become a certified backyard pit master, all while drinking beer at a local brewery. For information, dates, and times, go to brisketu.com. That's brisket, the letter u.com. That actually sounds pretty cool. I would like to do
this. Granado's talking a lot about it. I think it's a very neat deal.
Have you ever made a brisket in your life?
No.
Nicholas, have you ever made a brisket?
Not in a smoker, but yes. In the oven.
I've never made a brisket in my life. I would love...
It's got to smoke for like, what, like 10, 12 hours?
I think it just depends.
A lot of people do it 10 or 12 hours. Some people do it overnight. It just kind of depends on
My dad is a big brisket guy. He loves to cook brisket and eat brisket.
It's amazing. Okay.
It is great tasting food.
If it's made right.
Right, also, that's true.
Also, I've learned through AJ's education of barbecue that the only brisket I really like is moist brisket. It's kind of the fattier brisket.
Yep. You don't like that lean stuff?
The rest of that stuff is just too dry. Man, and if I've got to put like barbecue sauce on it, I don't want it.
We go back to my whole, I like it a little bit well done, but with the crispy ends, like when AJ got us on the burnt ends is great.
Burnt ends are legit. Yeah. But just when you order brisket, just trust me, just unless you like it dry. Then, can I get brisket all moist? That's the way to go.
Can't go wrong with that.
Mm-mm. Unless you like your brisket like you like your women.
See?
Just ordered a brisket from Rudy's Barbecue.
We were doing so well, and then you just had to finish like that.
What?
It's okay.
Rubbed in... Never mind.
See? Quit while you're ahead.
What? Oh, man, you're just a
party pooper. Dude, I'm looking out for you. Just saying, man.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so I don't know how many people saw the replay last night. I just think the only thing that I would say about this is, if you missed it, Hader picked off Straw. Straw went to second base. It looked like he was safe. He was ruled safe on the field, and then through replay, they called him out. The only thing that I would fault AT&T Sportsnet on is the communication between the booth and the producer and the truck to say, hey, slow it down as the glove goes towards the body, because everybody assumed the tag was on the body. It looked like it may have grazed Straw's elbow on the way there. But if that is indeed the case and the reason why you reversed the call, either MLB or somebody has to communicate, hey, slow it down and super slow-mo it or freeze it around where the contact was made. Because otherwise, as the people were watching at home, I don't know how anybody didn't think he wasn't safe.
Yeah, I was, my wife actually, she was kind of dozing off while that was happening. And she goes, don't tell me what happened. Like, you know, she woke up real fast and she was like, don't tell me what happened. I bet I'll be able to understand what they decided based on the crowd reaction. I was like, okay. And then you heard boo. She was like, they called him out?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that was a bad call. That was a really bad call. And it sucks that you can't go out there and, like, argue, or not that it would do any good. They're not going to overturn it, but yeah, I'm with you.
Give us the backup for why you made the call, reverse the call.
I didn't see anything that showed him as being out. It looked like, now, the only thing I could think is that, was there a moment when the glove was touching him that his hand or his foot came off the bag?
I thought his hand stayed on consistently. That's why I said the one thing that, and a lot of times,
Jake almost overslid the bag and got called out for the same thing.
He did. But the one thing that when I was looking at it, was it looked like, without saying it in their headset, because a lot, you got Berkman in there. So it's different than if Blummer was in there. It might startle him if they yell in his ear, hey, look at the elbow or whatever. Right. But it seemed like they almost intentionally slowed it down to almost a standstill as the glove was going by his elbow, as if to say there might have been contact there. But again, no definitive answer, no anybody giving us an explanation, just drives me nuts, because White walks on the next pitch and you'd have first and second, nobody out, and be in a position to win the game and walk it off.
Yeah.
And instead, you know, and the other thing was, they hit into, every time they had a guy on base, they hit into a double play.
I would be interested to see how many double plays this team has hit into. Because for as good as they are offensively, I feel like the Astros hit into a lot of double plays. And that includes guys like Brantley and Mariznick.
I had this conversation, I think, 2 years ago. They had a fetish for just hitting into every double play possible.
Yeah.
But last night I kept going, well, they got a guy on, nobody out. Just wait for it. It's a double play coming. It was just frustrating as hell. And they were hit hard in a lot of cases. And then, of course, with the makeshift lineup, you've got guys out there that aren't exactly used to working with each other and everything like that.
Right.
So on the flip side, the Astros aren't turning double plays because routine balls aren't routine and turns aren't the regular turn. There's not the same fluidity and guys are safe when they should be out.
Yeah, you got an outfielder playing shortstop.
Yep.
You've got a guy.
Another outfielder playing second sometimes.
You got, yeah. Oh, who, Mayfield?
No, Kemp.
Oh, Kemp. Yeah, but Kemp played second before this year. I'm not concerned.
Yeah.
Look, yeah, he's not a liability.
Right.
Miles Straw at shortstop is probably a bit of a liability. We know that Yuli at second is a liability. Mayfield.
Your boy Super Jack's a liability when he puts a bat in his hand.
Yeah, not going so good. Somebody had a question about Yordan when we brought him up earlier. They said, Barry, quick question. We know Yordan Alvarez isn't quite proven yet, but would you put Alvarez in the lineup over Tyler White? White has been terrible all year. Thanks and love the show. I know your feelings on this. You would definitely replace Tyler White.
Absolutely, without a question, Mark, and I'd never look back.
The question becomes, though, like, you have to be in the position to do that, and they're not right now. But, I mean, we know what Tyler White is. We know what he does. And if you're going to bring up Yordan, then, yeah, I would put him in the DH spot. I don't know that I would play him at first base, but when you are healthy, when you have Correa and Altuve back and you're able to get your infield squared away where, you know, Bregman can play third again and Yuli can play first, then if you're asking me, who do you choose at DH between Alvarez and Tyler White? Well, obviously, I think I'm going to give Alvarez a shot, but I'm not going to hesitate if he's in a slump to put Tyler White back in. You don't really have a choice. He's up here. He's using a roster spot.
Wow. Speaking of roster spots, they just made a move.
Oh?
Derek Fisher's going down.
A trade? Oh, they sent him down?
Yeah, they sent him down to make room for more pitching because of everything that's been going on.
The bullpen.
How taxed the bullpen is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that answers some of our question about which one of these guys is going to be sent down as people start to get healthy.
It does seem that to look that way because Jay Kaplan is the first one that I've saw.
Okay,
that is saying that they are bringing up more pitching.
Well, they couldn't send down Straw. He's the backup shortstop right now.
Yeah, right. I mean, from a versatility, you can't do anything with Mayfield either because they need the infield help right now. So,
at worst case, you could put Yordan Alvarez in left field. You know that. And he can get out there and boot a few balls. And it's a little easier to play left field at Minute Maid because of the Crawford boxes. So, it's not as much running around. You got that weird corner, but that's okay. Jake covers that space a lot of times anyways. It kind of makes sense that you got this guy that you want to see what he can do, and you called him up now. You've started his clock, so you might as well keep him. You know what you're going to get from Derek Fisher.
So your boy Francis Martes is coming up, along with Rogelio Armenteros, who was supposed to be the AAA starter tonight. Okay. But they have pitching help on the way, and in the corresponding move, Derek Fisher is going down.
Oh, very good.
To the minors. So just want to let you guys all know that. Armenteros has a 5 ERA in 45 innings in AAA.
Sweet.
Yay, me.
Hey, I got to give a shout out to more listeners that I mentioned earlier, this text where somebody said that they got their money back, or they got some money in the Get Upside app, and instead of putting it in their pocket, they got some AMC gift cards and took their wife to the movies, and she didn't even know about it. She thinks that they're just being nice and did a date night. And you can do that too with Get Upside, man. It is so awesome. If you haven't downloaded it yet, put Get Upside on your phone. It's completely free. And be like that listener, or be like Mark Gavin, who a while back sent me a screenshot of his account. And he said, Barry, after, 3 weeks, 1 month, he's already got almost $20 in his account just from using Get Upside. Don't be a dummy, man. Get Upside on your phone and start getting cash back for stuff you're already paying for. And make sure you use my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That gets you extra cash back on your first fill up through the app. And I've had people say, man, somebody said they got 35 cents a gallon cash back on their first fill up. That's crazy because they used my promo code Barry. So do that. Get that seed money going. And then, like Mark, you know, get the money built up, and then you can be like some of the listeners that are using it to get AMC gift cards. I'm looking at it right now. Amazon, Starbucks, Nike, Dunkin' Donuts, Chili's Bar and Grill. You can get gift cards for all these things and give them to somebody, or you can just use it for yourself, or don't tell your wife you're taking her to dinner and do that, and she thinks you're a hero, and you've just been getting money back. That's all you've been doing. You're being smart about it by not wasting money or leaving money at the pump. There are 500 gas stations around the city, so there's no reason you can't find one to use Get Upside at and get cash back up to 25 cents a gallon. Also, tons of restaurants, over 100 around the city, where you can get up to 35% cash back, and that's real money. That's not just, you're going to get 5 cents back when you go and spend a lot of money at Wendy's or something like that. No, there are Wendy's in the area that are 35% cash back. We've had listeners point that out to us, so go check that out. Make sure you download it completely free. No catch, no hassles, no gimmicks. It's just you getting cash back for the stuff you're already paying for. Download Get Upside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and send me some tweets and thank me later. What you say?
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number 2 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday. Getting ready for a big game 6 tonight, fellas.
What happens?
Warriors win at home.
I agree.
I agree 3.
Let's go in game 7.
I think so, too. And then what happens? Then I don't.
No, I'll save it because we need something to talk about.
No doubt. But I think if you missed it, KD went through with the surgery yesterday, so it wasn't just a second opinion. And he went to the right guy, because if you look at who the guy has operated on and all the different injuries he's dealt with, he's taking care of the best of the best. And he took care of KD, who is still laid up in a hospital bed. But the surgery supposedly went well. And so that's that aspect of it. But I think because of all I've said, this team has won so much being Golden State that they get complacent. And sometimes they need a little extra. And I think they got that extra now. They want to win one for KD. They're still a little pissed off about the way the crowd reacted to when he went down.
Mm-hmm.
They, again, like the fact that they are now the underdog again, and they take that role seriously. And as the Rockets fans know, they also execute when they get it.
Yep.
So I think for all those and the last night at Oracle, win or lose, it's the last game ever in that crusty barn of a building. And so I think they win. Dude, if you haven't been there, it is a pit.
Is it really?
The entire complex is a pit. Like if you not heard Blummer and TK talk about how bad the Oakland Coliseum is to do baseball,
yeah.
Like Blummer's like, I think they backup finally took sewage. The carpet off the desk in here,
like backup sewage, and,
yeah, and where everything is and all that other stuff. That's a pit, and then it's right up against the highway in Oakland, and the arena isn't much better. The team made the arena a place to go, which actually benefited the people that went there because they upgraded as much as they could, kind of like. When they gut the building and try and upgrade without having to knock it down. So they put like fancy little suite areas and like the Lexus Lounge at Toyota Center kind of things, mm-hmm. and those little elements into it. But just the bowl where the suites are and everything else is like, it had to go.
I've never been, but I've not heard good things about the facilities in Oakland.
I think once the LA Coliseum went away, which was the worst of the worst. I mean, in the worst neighborhood with rats. And it reminded me of an old bowling alley, and you went on escalators to get, and you literally needed a police escort to get from the door to the bus across the parking lot at night. After that went away, Oakland Coliseum's pretty close to being the next best thing to being the worst. It's awful.
I mean, keys to you tonight. I mean, what's a key for you?
I mean, the big thing for me is the role players who steps up on both sides. You know, are you going to get the good Kyle Lowry or the bad? Are you going to get something out of Siakam, Ibaka, Van Vliet, Gasol, and how many of them? And from the Golden State perspective, and you know, the old theory goes that role players and bench players play better at home. They're comfortable. Mm-hmm. The pressure's not as great. You know, they're not feeling it from the crowd in a bad way. It's all positive. I think when you look at it, the options are, at least with Golden State, again, you have a guy that was an all-star that you can put into this lineup, and he's proven that when you put him in, even when he looks like he may not play at all, Boogie can step up and give you buckets. He can get you rebounds. He can do some things. And at home, I think he's really going to be aggressive, and that's going to help them.
That's my key is the play of Boogie. I feel like when they lost Durant, you saw him really kind of step up in a big way, especially in that short span of time. And kind of make his mark on the game. And I think that has to carry over because I pick Golden State because they're at home and they've had a chance to game plan without KD and figure out what they're going to do, go back to their old style of offense a little bit. But it's not going to surprise me if Toronto wins this on the road. It's just not. When you talk about guys like Kawhi Leonard, and like you said, I think that I've been talking about it, but I think the Raptors are a deeper team overall, and their role players tend to step up better. But a big key is, can Cousins abuse Gasol? I don't know. He certainly has the tools to do that, but I think that DeMarcus Cousins can be a huge weapon that gives them multiple options. They can run an inside-out game if they want. They can run some pick and roll. They can, you know, he can step outside if he wants to do that. You'll see DeMarcus Cousins bringing the ball up sometimes in a fast break situation if he gets the rebound. So he's a huge key for me for the Warriors winning this and extending it to Game 7.
I mean, from a general standpoint, I think the Warriors do an unbelievable job of taking advantage of momentum shifts, right? When the momentum comes against them, they do a good job of ending a team's momentum, and I think they do a real good job of building on a momentum that's a wave of momentum that they've developed. I think that happens in the fourth quarter a lot at home for the Warriors, and I think if that happens, it's going to be difficult for the Raptors to kind of, you know, overcome that, regardless of Kevin Durant not being on the floor or not. So I wouldn't be surprised if they won it on the road, but yeah, I'm picking the Warriors. I think they'll take care of business. I think they'll force a Game 7.
I think the other thing, so that's a good thing to look for because the runs are big. And normally Golden State comes out in the third quarter and really sticks it to you. And then they put you away in the fourth, like you were saying, Nick. And the other thing to keep an eye on is three-point shooting. Because remember now, they started that game the other night, four of their first five from three. Klay was making, Steph was making, KD was making. You got to pick up the slack for KD's three-point shooting just by making more shots. If Iguodala makes a three or two, that's big for them. If they can get anything out of Quinn Cook from three, that's big. But the guys that step in have to step up from three because much like the Rockets, when the Warriors are clicking in the non-KD lineup, they've got to have a good percentage from three. You know you're going to get good percentages from Klay and Steph, but I don't know what you're going to get from anybody else. And if Nick Nurse and the Raptors are smart, they're going to key on extra pressure on the perimeter for Steph and for Klay. Klay could put it on the floor. He could post you up. So you have to respect that. Steph's going to try and penetrate, but Steph doesn't want to consistently get it in the middle where he can take a beating. So you have to just put extra pressure and push on the other side of the pick when Curry's looking to use the pick on the three line. And you've got to hyper contest the outside. You'll give up some twos. But the Warriors, without KD, the way they run that system, they got to make threes and they got to shoot a good percentage.
Okay.
I think the three-point shooting percentage is super huge. And I think if they're not, like those role players are not going to have a good three-point shooting percentage, then at least hit a big shot when they need it down the line in the fourth quarter. Otherwise, that's really going to hurt you. Sometimes you don't have to necessarily have the best three-point shooting percentage as long as you hit the big shots at the end of the game. But how do you know you're going to get that opportunity? How do you know you're even going to be in the position to do something like that? So, yeah, the three-point percentage point that you make.
For both teams, because, Barry, to your point.
Here's what's weird. I was looking at that while you were saying this, though, and I was like, okay, is there a correlation between the losses versus wins and how the Warriors have shot from three-point range? So, in the three losses that they have to Toronto from three-point range as a team, they've shot 29.6, 33.3, and 38.7%. That's in losses. Mm-hmm. And their two wins, they shot 38.2 and 47.6. So significantly higher in the two wins. But if you're still shooting in the mid-30s and losing, it's kind of weird.
Based on volume, but here's the other thing. And I would say to your point about Toronto being deeper, the other thing is turn it around, Nick, and make it, besides Boogie, one of the biggest keys in the game. Because when Van Vliet makes a couple, they're a different team. When Gasol and Ibaka make a couple, they're a different team. But when you rely, and even Lowry, because when Lowry's had 23 or had a big scoring night as well as the assists, they're a different team. But Kyle's got to make that off-balance, feet close together, fading one way or another three. When he has made it, they're a different team. So I think three-point shooting both ways, something to look for tonight because of how this series has played out so far with the role players and, like you said, the depth of the Raptors as well.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, I just want a good game.
Yeah, I don't want to be bored.
Right.
I don't want to blow out. I want it to come down to, you know,
if it plays out like Game 5 did, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I just don't want to blow out.
I'm with you. So hopefully we get a good game tonight from the Oracle, and maybe we set up another Game 7 after last night in hockey.
Yeah, I saw you list and put the F. Yeah, you that excited, huh?
No, I put it for a different reason. I don't know if you know it or not.
No.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Okay.
F yeah, we will. Before an F yeah Friday, we'll get to the F yeahs after this. Stay tuned. It's the final hour of the show. Coming up next, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.